All right? Okay. Edward, come on up. Everybody stand. We're going to receive the word together. Going to honor the word. Edward Elliott's going to be sharing the word this morning. Edward has been on our church council for many, many years. I don't even know how long. And I love Edward. He has been, listen, on a church level, on a personal level, he has been my friend, and I love him. And so he's going to share the word with us this morning and let the word touch our hearts, all right? And then we're going to pray over it. Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verse 9 through 13. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each of you should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred. And you together are that temple.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right. We're going to pray right now that we receive God's word. Not somebody's thoughts on God's word, but God's word. All right. Father, I thank you so much today for what you're doing, how you're working in our lives. But Lord, we want to submit to you this morning. We want to allow you the room to work in us, Lord. Let your word speak to us. Lord, we know your word is infallible, that God, it will do its work in us if we will allow it. And we thank you for what you're going to do. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to hear it and allow it to penetrate our hearts and apply it to our lives today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. All right. Now, I'm just going to be upfront and honest with you this morning. This is a tough passage of Scripture, and we're just going to dive into it, and I'm going to try to take it slow. Sometimes I have a tendency to get in a hurry, and I'm going to try to slow it down a little bit today so that we make sure that we get this completely. So Paul explains the importance, the gravity of what he has been talking to them about. He has said to them, the Corinthian church, the Corinthian church is in the city of Corinth, a Greek city. We've said it every week as we've been studying 1 Corinthians. It was a metropolitan area. It was lots of diversity in religion, lots of ways to sin. All kinds of sexual sin had actually been formalized, and prostitution was a big deal, and it had been brought into religious circles, and there was all sorts of issues with that. And then there were people that were always jockeying for position and power and money. There was all the time some sort of debate going on in the city, which, again, it relates to us directly. We get everything that the Corinthians were going through. We get it. We deal with it every single day. And he has said to the church, look, you have got to be unified. You have to be unified. He was saying, look, there's enough enemy out there. Satan is out there fighting to destroy and tear people down. And you in the church have to be unified. There is no choice. You can't be divided. Because they had even gotten to the point that they were divided over which preacher they liked the most. I like Paul, or I like Apollos, or I like Cephas. And Paul was like, cut it out. Everybody who shares the message of Christ has a place in the body of Christ. He said, some are going to plant, some are going to water, God is the one who gives the increase in all of our lives. And really, he comes to a point, Paul does, in this passage, where he is saying to them, look, I need you to recognize the gravity of this moment. I need you to understand just how important this is. My mama would have said, he gets down to the nitty-gritty. He gets right down to where the rubber meets the road. So he drops in a short reminder in the middle of this book, in the middle of this letter that we're going to talk about today. He drops them a reminder that they will all be judged according to their actions. He has already told them that they are loved. He's told them, he's corrected them. But now he takes it up a notch and he goes, judgment is something that every person born into this world will face. So we got to be sure that we understand the judgment that he's talking about here. The Bible talks about two different judgments, all right? The first one is, that we're not going to talk about today, but I do want to explain it for just a minute, is the great white throne judgment. Already, that sounds a little scary, all right? The great white throne judgment. Now, where in the world did it get its name from? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, all right? So that's where the name came from. This is John the Revelator writing the book of Revelations. This is the vision he saw, and he writes it down. It says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, that's a heavy passage of Scripture, all right? So at the great white throne judgment, this is Scripture, all right? It speaks about a final judgment of humanity. It's when people who have rejected Christ are judged. People who have rejected Christ, refused to accept Christ. It's the last judgment before all those who oppose God are cast into the lake of fire. How's that for an encouraging message this morning? It says, if you reject Christ, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire along with Satan and all of the fallen angels. So this is a horrible scene. So that's the first judgment that that the Bible talks about. Here's the second one, which is what we're going to talk about this morning. Paul very directly says to the Corinthians, hey, judgment, you're going to be judged on how you live your life. But he's talking to people inside the church. He's talking to Christians, talking to believers. He's talking to people who have put their faith in Christ. And he says, you're not going to be in that great white throne judgment. That's for people who have rejected Christ. You're going to be in the judgment seat of Christ, all right? Some people call it by the Greek name the Bema seat. It's where Christ judges the believers on how they have lived their life for him. So it's the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. He said you're going to be judged what you do while you're in the body. Because here's what happens. When we accept Christ and we repent of our sins, then God forgives us and God cleanses us. He brings us in and we are safe from that great white throne judgment. Because the sacrifice that Jesus made for us washes away our sins and we are saved. He became the sacrifice, the substitute in our place so that we don't have to stand in that great white throne judgment. But then he says, look, now that you're in the church, you're in the body, he said, you're going to stand before Christ one day, and you're going to receive by how you have lived your life. 1 Peter 5 and 4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So this is that moment where we will all, everybody who's accepted Christ will stand before Jesus one day, and we, our lives are being recorded. I mean, everything, you think everything's being recorded on a cell phone, but listen, stuff is being recorded in heaven today, right? This is how we live our lives is being recorded. And so we're going to stand before God. And this is where Jesus rewards believers based on what they did to build his kingdom. So when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat, then he's looking at what we did to build his kingdom up. Now, in the city of Corinth, they had sort of an atmosphere of competition. They loved the games. It would be very similar to the Olympic Games that we know today. Happened every couple of years. It was called the Isthmian Games. And there was boxing, and there was wrestling, and there's chariot races, and all that stuff. But then there was also musical and poetry categories, all right? And so they had a little something for everybody. So they understood competition. It wasn't enough for them to write a beautiful poem. They got them put it in a competition and win, doggone it. We're going to slam dunk somebody with this rhyme. You know, that's the way they felt. Everything in their culture was about competition. So when Paul brings this in and he says, look, you're going to be judged in how you're living your life. It was very familiar to them. They got it. They understood it because everything they did was judged on some level. Other people were watching them because there's such a spirit of competition in this city. So Paul is using this imagery to remind the church, the Corinthian church, that there's a spiritual war, a contest, a spiritual contest going on. Now, that doesn't mean that if I win, you have to lose, or if you win, I have to lose. No, no, no. We're not competing against one another. But we're competing against ourselves and what we can do for Christ. So here's four things I want us to understand about the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to get it directly from this passage that we read today. First one is this. We are building a spiritual life. You and I are building our spiritual lives. It's not something you make a decision one time and then you're just good. You just float and coast for the rest of your life. He said that's the person he's really talking to here, all right? He's saying don't just accept Christ and then forget about what he's calling you to do. We're all building. For no one, look at verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said, look, I want you to build. I want you to build, and you're going to start the foundation of your building, of your house, of your temple, of your spiritual life needs to be solid. And the only way to do that is to build on Jesus Christ. There's no other way to build. And so he said the foundation is important. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. Now he leaves us right there, and we're going to get back to that verse in just a minute. He's like, everybody is going to choose what kind of building materials they're going to use. You're the one that's building. You're in charge. You're in charge of building your spiritual life. I'm in charge of building my spiritual life. And there are two categories, is what he's saying to us right here. There's two categories of people that are building their life. It's the people that choose the gold, silver, and costly stones. And then there are the people who choose the wood, hay, and straw. He really gives us two lists. If these were your shopping lists for building your house, it would be the gold, silver, and costly stones, or the wood, hay, and straw. Now, our lives are like stones that we're building, they're the building materials for that temple, our temple, the thing that God is building in us. All Christians... Listen, I'm going to say a couple things, and I just need you to roll with me, all right? And then I need you to understand. We're going to explain it. All Christian lives are not equal in their effectiveness. God is not just giving out participation trophies. Every Christian life is not equal in its effectiveness. All people who are saved are in one of these two categories. They're either spiritual or they're carnal. We talked about this last week. They're building with gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. And we get to decide. Now, heaven will not be the same for everybody. There's coming a time when the spiritual house that you and I have built will be tested when we stand before Christ. We have to start with Jesus. If I don't begin by building on Jesus, then I'm not saved. If my foundation is not Christ, if my foundation is I'm doing better, I'm building on me, I'm changing some things in my life, then I'm already on the wrong foundation and I'm not building up in Christ. To be a believer, I have to start by building on Jesus, all right? Now, the wood, hay, and stubble, and straw are cheap and combustible. They're flammable. They burn quickly, all right? You have to dig for gold and silver and precious stones. Those are valuable and permanent. And one day it will be revealed whether we've been building with gold, silver, and precious stone or wood, hay, and straw. So we get to decide how we're going to do that. It says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation, all right, then they have to choose which materials they're going to use. Now, I love a good trip to Home Depot. All right, I used to bribe my kids. I wanted them to go with me to Home Depot, all right? And I would say, whoever goes to Home Depot gets a surprise. And we bought more Cokes and candy bars at Home Depot than we did pliers and wrenches, I'll tell you that much, all right? But I love going to Home Depot because a couple things are going on. Either you're going to create something that was not there, or you're about to repair something that's been broken. I love that trip. There's an anticipation about it. Now, I also know that if this project is not important to me, I'm going to buy the cheap stuff. I'm buying the crooked 2x4s. I'm buying the paint that's $12 a gallon instead of $50 a gallon. But if it's something that I care about, I'm going to check every board. I have been the guy, like, looking at everywhere. I got to get 100, man. Just give it a rest. And I'm looking for everyone. I want it done exactly right. And it's interesting to me that sometimes as believers, we don't take that much time thinking about the materials and the ingredients in our personal life. We sort of just go in and grab it and run. We come to church on Sunday. Woo, that was good. Man, I love that song. Woo, feel better. I'm out of here. Not thinking about what we need to do daily to make sure that the right ingredients, the right materials are going into our lives. You and I are responsible for what our Christian life looks like. I can't get to the end of my life and say, well, nobody told me. That's not enough. It's a responsibility thing. I want to grow up in my relationship with Christ, so I've got to choose. And it's a constant set of choices, right? So here's the second thing we need to know about the judgment seat of Christ. This will be a time of revelation. Revelation. Verse 13, their work, we just said all those materials, he listed all of them, and then it says their work will be shown for what it is. At the judgment seat of Christ, he said, your work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, the judgment day, will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Fire. Now we got that list. You got gold, silver, and precious stones, or you got hay and all this stuff that burns so quickly. And how's it going to be revealed about what our spiritual life looks like? With fire. You can tell very quickly if something is flammable if you add fire to it. You can find out real quick if it'll burn by adding some fire to it. And that's exactly what he says. It's just going to reveal. One day, we're going to be judged as servants of the Lord. Don't you love it when that annual review comes around at work? Yeah, none of us want to be a part of that. But this is the ultimate annual review. This is the ultimate when God says, we're just going to test it. We're just going to test to see if it'll work. So he said, the fire is going to test it. It's going to test every one of us, man, woman. It's going to test all of our work. The fire of God's judgment will pass over our lives. And even though I may be saved, if my life is carnal, I'm building with wood and hay and straw, then it all goes up in smoke. Now, I'm still on the right foundation, but all that stuff I've been building. Instead of building from God's word, I've been building with my own thoughts. I've been building with somebody else's advice. I've been building with Netflix specials instead of scripture. When we come across a great quote, you know, and we feel like that we have got something figured out, but we didn't check it to see if it was scriptural, that's what's happening. And he says, all that's going to go up in flames one day. We'll be judged according to our ability. Now, this is beautiful. God is going to judge you not for what you have done, but what you could have done. God's going to judge us by what we could have done. God has made you exactly how he wants you to be. God is not going to compare you with somebody else. God will compare you with whatever talent he has given you. God is not going to judge us by what somebody else does or what somebody else could have done. God judges us according to our own abilities. God cares about how we use the gifts, the talents, the abilities he has given us. He wants us to build his kingdom. He wants us to be a part of building something. But he's only going to judge us by our ability. Listen, I see people all the time with more abilities than I have. I always call them five talent people. And the Bible talks very directly about people who have been given five talents and others have been given one talent. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I feel like I fit in that half a talent category. You know, it's like, Lord, we're going to do the best we can with what you gave us. And God's not judging me against a five talent guy. He's judging me against the talents he's given me. And some of us have let fear stop us from stepping out and obeying God in areas that he has given us ability in. We become afraid and we sort of sit back and we think somebody else will do it. Somebody else will step up. I'm going to wait for somebody else. I don't have time. I don't have the... And God's going to judge us. Jesus is going to judge us according to that. Look at Mark chapter 12. I love this story. It's Jesus, and he's really giving us an account of something he saw. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. So people are giving to the temple, right? And many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So Jesus watched what the people put in the offering. And the widow gave more than all of them because she gave according to her ability. So God is not comparing you and me. See, this little lady is going to be judged by what she could give according to her ability. You and I might not have the ability to write a $1 million check today, but we probably have the ability to do something, to give something, to serve some way, to share some way. She gave everything to the Lord. What if we said today, Lord, it's all yours. I know it's my name on the checkbook, it's my name on the deed, but it all belongs to you, Lord. whatever little bit of talent you've given me, Lord, it all belongs to you. What do you want to do with it, God? How do you want to use this? Because one day it'll be revealed that what we've done with what we've been given. I can only do what I can do, and I trust the Lord with that. God will not judge us according to what we can't do. He'll judge us according to what we can do. All right, here's the third one. Things we need to know about the judgment seat of Christ. This will be a time of reward. A time of reward. When I was growing up, I worked on a farm a lot. And I loved it. And I especially loved payday. When everybody would gather up at the end of a row in some field somewhere, and he would say, "All right, you worked 4 days this week." Man, I felt like I was rich. I'll be honest with you, I was not, all right? But I thought I had a pocket full of money, and it felt so good. It felt so good, all right? And this is exactly what we're talking about. This judgment seat of Christ, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, look, I need you to know that he's going to reward you when you go all in, when you serve him with your whole heart. He's going to reward you for these things. 1 Corinthians 3:14, same passage of Scripture. If what has been built survives, we just said it was going to be fire, right? You can build with gold and silver, or you can build with hay and straw. And he said, whichever one survives the fire, the judgment of God, the builder will receive a reward. The person who has built that life, that Christian life, they will receive a reward. Verse 8 says this, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Now, it's easy to get upset thinking that some believers will receive more reward in heaven than others. And I don't know what to answer to that question except say, get over it. God's choosing how he's passing out these rewards. It sounds like in our culture, it sounds like God's not being fair. But the Bible's very clear that there will be degrees of rewards in heaven. Not everybody's going to be rewarded the same way. If you accepted Christ and you kind of kept it down here and you never committed and you never really followed him the way he wanted you to, and you never really served and you never helped build his kingdom, that's the reward you get. But if you give and you serve and you honor God and you help build his kingdom, then he gives you that reward. And this is God saying, look, I'm doing this by your labor. I'm rewarding you because of your labor. Work. Never, our works never bring us to heaven. If you don't get anything else, get this. Our work will not get us into heaven, but our works will follow us into heaven. We get to choose. You can't work your way into heaven. You'll never be good enough. That's why Jesus died on the cross, is because he knew that we couldn't do it on our own. And we needed a Savior. So we come to him. We give him our lives and he changes us. He sets us free. He saves us, all right? That's what gets us into heaven. And when we start serving him, though, those works, what happens is when I receive the love of Christ, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us, right? We start loving and thinking of things in a different way, and we see people in a different way, and we have more grace in our hearts. And then we find out we want to start serving and we want to start working. It comes out of a redeemed heart. And those works, though, will follow us into heaven. The rewards in heaven are going to all be different. I hope I'm not at the back of the line where he's like, all right, we got one, you know, kazoo left, and good luck. I hope that I'm somewhere toward the front, and I think we all feel the same way. Now, let me say it again. I just don't want any confusion. Works do not save us. They follow us, all right? And so it goes like this. There are many people, unknown believers, who don't get recognized here on earth. People who are praying and interceding for you and me today, People who give to missionaries and nobody ever knows it. People who are working in the church nursery right now. Hallelujah. So when people who are inviting friends to church, people who are serving, who are sweeping floors, doing all the things that need to be done, just serving people in the community, those people are not receiving a reward here on earth. They're not. But God's keeping score. God's looking. God's watching. God is making sure that they will get rewarded one day. No one knows their names or recognizing them, but God's keeping score right now. Here's the fourth thing we need to know about the judgment seat of Christ. This will be a time of regret. It's interesting that Paul put it in this order. It's a time of regret. Some of us are going to look back and go, "Phew, I wish I would have done things differently." If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. You'll still get into heaven. If you've built on the foundation of Christ, you still get into heaven. If you're a believer, but he said, when the fire is applied, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but if our lives, our spiritual lives that we've built burn up in the flames, then the reward is not there. But if we serve him, we get rewarded. So if we haven't built the right way, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. It would be the same thing as, you know, we've seen this many times where somebody's house is burning down and they get the family out just in the nick of time. And when they interviewed later, they say, "But we're all okay." Whew. But in your heart, you know, man, life is going to be tough. This is going to be hard for them because they just lost everything. That's the picture he's painting for us here. He said, you're going to make it into heaven, but all that whole life you built is going to go down in flames because you never really committed and you never really served. You didn't build with gold and silver and precious stones. You built with hay and straw, sticks, stuff that would burn up, stuff that would not last forever. A person whose life is found to be wood, hay, and straw is what the Bible calls a carnal Christian. They've got their view stops right here today. Let me see what I can get out of life today. The spiritually minded believer says, "Let me see what eternity is about. Let me think of in terms of eternity. Let me build for the long term." You know, if you start saving money for retirement, you just got to put it in the account and leave it there. Don't worry about the ups and downs. Just leave it alone. And then one day, 50 years down the road, you can retire and you have some money in the bank. Some of us don't do that, right? And some of us take the same philosophy into our spiritual lives. We just consume as Christians. And God wants us to invest in eternity. He wants us thinking about the eternal, not just the temporary, not just the things that are going to go away. If it's unclear how this fire is going to happen. But when we understand that we will stand before God one day and we will give an account of what we did with the gifts and abilities and talents he has entrusted to us, and did we build his kingdom and did we honor him in the way we live our lives, this is a real moment in your future and mine that we're going to have to think about. When we accept Christ, we start walking with him, we are safe in his care, right? We walk with Christ and we're safe in his care. Building on the right foundation. If we stay on that foundation, our eternity is good. But he's talking about he wants to reward us. Do you ever say to your kids, you know, "All right, if you clean your rooms today, we're going to go to the movies tonight." And you think, "Boy, this is really going to motivate them." And you come back in there 2 hours later and your faith is running high as you're walking down the hall. And you're like, "I know they want to go. I know they love them popcorn and Cokes and that." And you walk in there and it looks exactly like it did when you walked out 2 hours ago. Wouldn't it be ashamed if we live our lives that way? Where God is like, look, I got all this good stuff for you waiting. And I just need you to build the right life and use the right materials and do the right things here. And I want to reward you later. And we just sit in the floor. And one day when we're standing before him, he goes, I wanted so much. But I can't take you to the movies now. I can't give you the reward now. That was your choice. And kids will go, but you can still take us. And you go, that would make me a liar. God's not going to change his mind about this one day. We got to build on the right foundation, and we got to build with the right materials, and we got to serve him the right way. And Paul says to this Corinthian church, hey, the world, they're all thinking about temporary stuff. He said, everybody outside this church, it seems, is thinking about prostitution, and they're thinking about money, and they're thinking about beating somebody else, and they're just trying to win. And I want you to focus on this. Eternity is what this is all about. What if you and I lived our lives with eternity in mind and said, I'm going to do this the way God wants me to do it. I'm going to go all in. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going in with all my heart. I'm going to serve him with everything I have. I'm going to say to him, Lord, it all belongs to you. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to serve you? How do you want me to build? And then trust him to help you with it. Listen, he cares about us today. I don't want to cheapen the judgment seat of Christ by saying this, but he's put a great incentive plan together. He's saying, look, if you'll just follow me and be disciplined enough to serve me now, man, I'm gonna reward you. I'm gonna far outweigh anything you give up. I got your back. I love you. I care about you. Let's stand together, everybody. The Bible says that nobody can lay a foundation, spiritual foundation, other than Christ. He is that foundation. So if you don't know him this morning, I want you to know him. That's the first thing. I want you to know Jesus. Just admit that you've sinned. Believe in Jesus and confess him as Lord of your life. Let that be your starting point. Lord, I surrender it to you. Made some bad decisions. I give that junk to you, Lord. I need you to forgive me. I believe in you. I know who you are, and I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to start fresh. I want to build on the right foundation. I want to honor you, God, in the way that I live my life. If you don't have a relationship with God, that's the place to start this morning. So when we pray in just a minute, I want you in your own words to pray that prayer. Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Or maybe you accepted Christ somewhere along the way, but you forgot to grow up. You forgot you were supposed to be building a life. It's very intentional to build with gold and silver and precious stones. It's very intentional. That doesn't just happen. It's not an accident. You don't just slide through and you look back one day and let's say, look at the life we built. Mm-mm. It's very, very intentional. So maybe it's time to say, Lord, I want to recommit. I want to re-up. I'm tired of doing this my way. I want to surrender to you. I want you to help me. Lord, I put my trust in you. And I believe he's going to do something. I believe he's going to use us. I believe he's going to use the talents he's given us. He chose you on purpose, knowing how bad you were going to mess it up, how bad I was going to mess it up. And he still gave us those abilities, and he still gave us those talents so that we could use to build his kingdom and overcome fear in the process. Lord, we thank you today, God. Lord, you've been so good to us. We just thank you. We honor you today for every good thing. Lord, for those that don't know you, have never had a relationship with you, Lord, today we pray, God, that they would be able to admit their sin and they would believe in you and they would confess you as Lord of their life today. Lord, today would be their day to draw a new starting line, start fresh, start over, and allow you to do your work in them, to redeem them, to save them, to change them, to mold them into your image. God, we pray for that person today, that this would be their moment. And Lord, for those that are here in the building that say, Lord, I've been enjoying my relationship with you, but I know I really haven't been building your kingdom. Lord, today we just want to take a moment, Lord, to repent of that. Just ask you to forgive us for, Lord, the time that we've wasted and the ability we've wasted. And Lord, we just want from this point forward to just go all in and trust you with our lives and to use us for your glory, that you would use us to build your kingdom, God. Lord, we want to stand before you one day and be proud of our body of work, to be proud of what we have built. Lord, it's not our salvation. We know that comes from you. You're the foundation. It all belongs to you. But Lord, we know, God, that you're calling us to build and to serve, and we ask for your help today. And God, we thank you. We thank you that we know it's coming, and we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 Now, here's the deal before we leave. Nobody ever built anything accidentally. Jody and I built the house a few years ago. That's a lot of work. I talked to the contractor ahead of time, and I said, there's part of this I want to do myself. I want to save some money. I want to do these things. And he was like, whatever you want to do, you feel free to do it. And so a lot of the work we were able to do on our own, and we get to enjoy that now, but it was very intentional. It's very intentional. The people in this room right now who have godly lives that you and I respect, they have been very intentional about building those lives. They didn't get saved 20 years ago and turn out to be the person that they are today by accident. They didn't just slide their way into that. It didn't happen. It was very intentional. So I just want to encourage you, if you feel like there's a next level, and I'll just tell you, there is a next step in your journey with the Lord. Decide. Make a choice. Be intentional about what the next step looks like. And I'll tell you this too, it's going to be uncomfortable. Growth is painful. We have to choose it. And the Bible tells us that one of the ways we fight fear is through discipline, to do the right things daily. Just choose the right things. Do the right things every day. And so what do you need to be intentional about? What is your next step? If you don't know, find somebody that you look up to in the faith and talk to them. I bet you they can answer your questions in 2 minutes. It's very straightforward. Like, here's some things. And what will happen is once you get the momentum rolling, it seems easier. It's really not. It takes the same amount of energy to keep it going, but it feels different once you get going. But you got to get off of zero first, and you got to get rolling, and God will use you, and God will bless you, and God will help you. What if we say, Lord, this all belongs to you. I trust you. I want you to use it, God. The job, the money, the family, the apartment, the car, whatever it is, use it, Lord, for your glory. And we trust you, God, to take us to the next level. If today is your first day here at Grace Point, we are so happy that you chose to be here. And we just would love to very quickly say hello. And we have a gift for you. And we just, again, want to say thank you for being here. Stop by the booth at the back door. You see the big welcome sign as you go out. Just stop by, and it won't take but a minute. And we just want to say hello and give you a gift and say thank you again for being here. All right, we're going to pray, and we're going to go and surrender it to the Lord this week. Father, we thank you so much, God. Lord, we are going. Lord, we're going into a world that needs Jesus, and we want to be intentional about how we live our life for you. And we ask you to help us this week to put you first and make sure that we live our lives with eternity in mind. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.